We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Red October. Big Game Bob. Torrance taking it to the house. And Oklahoma winning the Big 12 title and its seventh national championship. The 2000 season is one that will never be forgotten, and the Orange Bowl against Florida State in Miami served as the perfect final chapter for one of the greatest seasons in college football history. This is the Legacy Series, the story of the 2001 Orange Bowl, OU versus Florida State for the national championship.
I mean, it was just, you know, a lot of pent-up energy, frustration, you know, a lot of disrespect thrown our way as a team.
It drove the hell out of us. It drove the hell out of us. And hearing the media saying, you're going to get blown out. Well, you saw what the score was.
4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. Oklahoma wins the national championship. All right, Oklahoma wins it.
Oh, man.
13-2. Incredible.
The Sooner Sports Podcast presents the Sooner Legacy Series, the stories behind the greatest moments and individuals in Oklahoma Sooner history. Now, here's your host, Toby Rowland.
Welcome to the Legacy Series. I'm Toby Rowland.
And I'm Chris Plank. In this episode, we'll look back on the 2001 Orange Bowl and some of the memorable stories surrounding the lead into the game. The incredible in-game moments with the help of the Sooner Radio Network and the legendary Bob Berry Sr. and Coach Merv Johnson. And, of course, the coin toss, where Torrance was there to get his boys' trophy.
But before we focus on the game, let's talk about the moment. The moment when they knew that this Oklahoma team was special. For some, it was as early as the offseason, like Josh Norman.
The summer before.
Wow.
And the UTEP.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I'm a firm believer that, like, that belief doesn't come when you're down 14-0 against Nebraska. You know, like, if you're trying to find that belief at that time, it's too late. I'll tell this story, and I tell it all the time. But it was after a long, grueling day of summer workouts. Coach Schmidt just put us through the ringer, and we were dead tired. And I believe, if you know, it was probably like me, Andre Wolfolk, Damian Mackey, Curtis Fagan. We were sitting there just dog tired. And it was almost, the way I remember it is like we all had the same thought at the same time. Probably didn't happen that way, but somebody said, if we don't win the national championship this year, I'm not coming back next summer. You know, because this is like, if we got to do all of this hard work, we better win a national championship or it's all for naught. And so, you know, like that mentality, that belief started then. It's like, man, if we're going to put in this much work, like this is worth a national championship.
And Torrance Marshall.
I'm always going to look at the whole journey.
Right.
Of how,
everything ended after the Independence Bowl, and what we did from that day moving forward until we played the national championship game. You know, a lot of guys worked their tails off, and, you know, the coaches coached their tails off, and, you know, we just believed in each other. All that hard work and all that stuff that we did after the Independence Bowl that spring, that summer, leading up into the season, you know, a lot of guys, well, the whole team brought into what we needed to do, and we were all on the same page as far as our work ethic, how we were going to approach every week, every game, every practice. And, you know, it was just wonderful to see, just looking back on it, how everything played out. It was just a beautiful thing, especially if you were there from the beginning inside the program like I was.
For others like Andre Wolfolk, that moment of belief came after beating Nebraska.
That was a spot where, because that was the first time I think any of us picked our head up and understood what was going on. We had the Texas game going on. I'm like, yeah, you know, this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And then somehow it was the worst version of Texas that we had ever seen at that point. I'm like, okay, that was crazy. So, you know, we go to K-State. And I'm like, man, you know, we were in some bad spots getting punts blocked and stuff. And somehow we still ended up winning. And it was kind of handily towards the end. That's kind of crazy. And then the Nebraska game came. And let me tell you, like I told you, I said it before. I can't remember what it was. We were down 14-0 halfway through the first quarter, and we were doing the math real quick. Man, we're going to be down by 70 before we know it. This is not going to be good. There's no way this is playing out well. And, of course, the defensive guy's like, man, just do your job. Like, we got our stuff. Just do your job. I'm like, oh, okay. Basically, we get told to shut up on the sideline. And sure enough, as I spoke that, they never scored a point. Another point. What? I was like, I don't know what just happened. But the defense decided they weren't going to give up anything else. And the offense decided we can move the ball now. And everything clicked from there. And then, of course, the game ends. And then a sea of people come on there. And that's the day that I mostly found out where the national championship game was, because Orange was raining down. I'm like, oh, my God. I guess this is for the national championship game. This is crazy. Like, there's a moment of clarity of, man, you guys are on top. And there's no dodging it now.
As it did for freshman linebacker Teddy Lehman.
I think it all really hit whenever the Nebraska game, whenever the Oranges started flying onto the field. Because it's like, up until that point, it's just like, head down, grind. Are we good? I don't know. I feel like we're good. I think we're good. I mean, we've won some good games. I mean, it does have that feeling, but you didn't know, and you really didn't know what that held. Until people start throwing, you know, oranges on the field, and it's like, oh, that's where the national championship is this year. People think that's where we're going. Holy crap. I mean, it was that moment right there, that Nebraska game. That was the time whenever all of a sudden this team, I think, finally took a look at themselves and said, we're pretty good. We can win. We can beat anyone that we're lined up against.
And for others like JT Thatcher, it was even after Red October.
After we beat A&M, being down 11 points going to the fourth quarter, and offense, you know what I'm saying, doing what they did, and Torrance Marshall picking that pass off. So we had a team meeting, no coaches allowed, you know what I'm saying? So this is what we're going to do now. If you're in. If you're not, get the hell out.
Regardless of when that moment of belief hit, the Sooners had finished the regular season undefeated, beaten Kansas State twice, including in the Big 12 title game, and had clinched a spot in the Orange Bowl to play for the national championship. But even as the Big 12 championship was being celebrated, team captain Chris Hammonds knew bigger things were in store for this team.
I can remember the Big 12 championship when we won the Big 12 championship, and after the game, the Orange Bowl committee comes in and tells you, you know, you're going to the Orange Bowl. And at the time, I thought that I would feel, I can remember thinking about this. I thought, well, we won one. They can't take away this Big 12 ring from us. And I thought, okay, that'll be satisfying enough. But I can just remember thinking, the Orange Bowl, forget this. We've got to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there was no doubt in our minds as a team. Everybody always says this because they can after the fact, you know, 2020. But I think we really, truly believe there was no chance we were going to lose against Florida State. And that was because, you know, our team was so tight at the time. We didn't really let a lot of the outside influences. Now, we didn't have social media and telephones and all that kind of stuff either. So it was a little easier for us. But that was that's how I remember it is we went about each week, even the Orange Bowl, very businesslike, very much we had one goal, and that was to win the game, and then we could celebrate.
Oh, we're going to the Orange Bowl. We'll lay the smack down on the salmon nose. Yeah, oh, you's gonna roll down at the Orange Bowl.
It's time to talk Sooner football. Welcome to the Sooner Tailgate Show. Here are your hosts, Mark Matthew and Merv Johnson.
All I can say, ladies and gentlemen, is it has been a fantastic season. And the spectacle down here in Miami at Pro Players Stadium is certainly equal to the season. It is a spectacle with thousands of fans all over Miami, a traffic jam like you wouldn't believe, and Pro Players Stadium decked out in its finest for the nation's premier football game of the entire season, the FedEx Orange Bowl.
The championship game, oh man. I remember distinctly hearing, a lot of the weeks, Miami Hurricanes at the time were talking about how they were supposed to be in the game. And how we play football isn't like real football. And of course, you can't judge Big 12 versus other conferences and all that stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, what are they talking about, man? It sucks. So like, we work so hard to do all these things. And of course, we're hearing about Chris Winkie and how they're going to shred through our defense and all this stuff. I was like, man, are you kidding me? I was like, there's no way that we can come out here and lay an egg to the nation, basically, because at that point we had to start playing in front of game day so many times. I'm like, there's no way we're going out here and getting embarrassed. No, it can't happen. It's like, I don't care what happens. I don't care if it's a defensive game or if it's a shootout. There has to be a way that we can win this game. And the whole message was, for the entire week, was do your job. Basically, do your 111. You have one job out of 11 people out there to actually succeed and win your one-on-one. Make sure you do your job.
The Sooners entered the Orange Bowl matchup with Florida State as a decisive underdog. To say that the disrespect for the Sooners' resume was high would be a massive understatement. The Seminoles had been the darling of the national media and featured Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Chris Winkie.
It drove the hell out of us. Because, you know, we played Florida State, Kansas State, Texas. We were underdogs all game, every game. So there was no underdog talk, but you thought about it. And when you have Torrance Marshall, Rocky Calmus, Ramon Richardson, Ryan Fisher, Dan Cody, Corey Callen, Dante Jones, Roe Williams, Mike Thompson, Derek Strait, Brandon Everidge, myself. Rest in peace, Brandon Everidge. You have those guys on the defensive side saying, and hearing the media said, you're going to get blown out. Well, you saw what the score was.
Last night, we had several hundred fans join Bob Barry and you and yours truly in the lobby of the Fountain Blue Hotel as we had a special edition of Sooner Talk Live. And the thing is, you said during that broadcast, it has been a fabulous week of Sooner practice.
It's as good as I've ever seen, probably the best I've ever seen for a bowl. I think that the very first practice was outstanding. They scrimmaged the first couple of days, feeling that they needed that to get used to being hit and the timing and everything. Obviously, with tongue in cheek and knocking on wood a little bit, if you hate to scrimmage for a game like this only a week in advance. But they were able to do it. I think it helped them. And normally in bowl games, when you come down here and it's warm and pretty and everything, your team the first couple of days is sluggish. It wasn't that way this year, Mark.
Yeah, from the start, we were all business about our meetings, about our practice. Sure, families are here, but they can go enjoy whatever Miami has to offer, but we're going to we're going to do our job, and we're going to do it well. I remember, you know, the first day, because we had an extra day or two, we scrimmaged. We went at each other, good against good, offense against defense, tackled, went full go against each other the first day we got there to set the tone that this game's going to be physical. We hadn't tackled or hit each other in about a month, you know, had a game to play. So we wanted to go at it, you know, right off the bat, and the players reacted to it really well.
With the buildup nearing a crescendo, kickoff just moments away, Sooner captain Torrence Marshall again provided maybe the most memorable pregame moment in Oklahoma Sooner history at the coin toss. Among the captains with Torrence at the coin toss was Chris Hammond.
Like always, we kind of we had a little bit of superstition, so we went out with the same captain pretty much each time. And Torrence was, we were certainly fired up before the game. There's no doubt we were about to tear the doors off the place. And Coach gave a great kind of pump up speech, which he's not, Coach Stoops was always kind of an even keel guy, but we were fired up. There's no doubt. And we go out there and it was surreal. You know, we're at the Orange Bowl and all I could think about was the games that I watched with my dad and brother when I was a little kid, the Orange Bowl, you know, and how that was so far away, you know, like the Orange Bowl was like, you know, famous football players. And now I'm standing, you know, midfield and there's Denzel Washington was at the coin toss. And he'd just come out with, like, I think it was the movie The Hurricane. And I love Denzel Washington. So I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, Denzel Washington right here. And then Torrence starts up on Winky. And I was like, whoa, boy, this thing is really on right here. It's on. And I agreed with him. You know, Josh should have won the Heisman that year. And we certainly did our best to get his trophy back. So
I wasn't planning on saying anything specifically to him, but I mean, it was just, you know, a lot of pent-up energy, frustration, you know, a lot of disrespect thrown our way as a team. And, hell, by the time kickoff started, you know, I was dead serious when about telling, you know, I was just serious about it. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, I thought about, you know, thought about what I was going to say. I wasn't like that, you know. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't a joke or anything like that. I didn't say it for it to be on YouTube and, you know, a lot of people see, you know, I was, you know, I said it because I meant it and I knew our team was going to play like that. And I wanted to let them know that, you know, it was going to be a cakewalk the way they thought it was going to be.
Torrence was dialed in.
We was zoned in as a team. As far as, you know, we were laser-like focused on Florida State. And I was in the moment. I swear to you, I did not know Denzel Washington was throwing, did the coin toss until after the game. My mom was like, did you see Denzel? I was like, who? You know,
that's awesome.
I didn't see anybody on the sidelines. You know, they said there's a whole bunch of people there. I didn't see anybody on the sideline. I didn't notice anybody at the coin toss or nothing. So that's how focused I was at that particular moment. And, you know, as a team, I think we were focused in like that, you know, because, you know, we did everything as a team when we were on the field, you know, so. As a team, I think we were laser-like, but we were all locked in 100%. There wasn't anybody that wasn't on 100%. So as far as me noticing people, I really didn't notice Denzel Washington even did the coin toss. I really didn't.
We're about set to go, Murr, with this national championship game, Oklahoma versus Florida State.
Right now, those players are kind of wasting energy trying to lead the crowd. I think the crowd's doing a fine job.
And the place looks full. I don't see an empty seat anywhere.
I don't think there's been an empty ticket for a long, long time for this one.
We're waiting for Doug Honig, the referee, to signal, and he does. Or actually, that's the umpire, Jim Augustin, who signals. We're ready to go. And the Oklahoma Sooners kicking off to Florida State. Here's the kickoff and the flash club splash, and it's a high end-over-end kick into the end zone about 5 yards deep. Gardner will touch it back. That's Tallman Gardner. So a nice kickoff to start it off for the Sooners, and Florida State starts first and 10 from their own 20-yard line.
To the surprise of many, the first half was an all-out defensive battle.
Quick drop pass, tipped in the air and incomplete. Knocked down, I believe, on the left side by Corey Heinicke. He's done that all year.
I almost wish he hadn't tipped it. Straight was out there in the intercept position, Bob. He was in great position out there.
Third and six, shotgun. Winky back to pass. Left plenty of time. Pump fakes, pulls it down, rolls to his right. Heinicke is chasing him, and they'll sack him. He gets away. Now they get him at the 32-yard line. Corey Klein finally finished him off. Well, Merv, that has to be a coverage situation there. Winky had all day, and now a little extracurricular activities as one of the Florida State linemen, Dorsey.
He's just chatting with his old buddy,
chatting
Florida
with
Marshall, yeah.
Wolfolk is actually in the backfield along with Griffin on either side, and now they shift, and Mackey, Savage, and Wolfolk go wide left, which is the wide side of the field.
They're struggling, getting lined up.
Back to pass is Heupel. He rushes forward, he races up, quick pass. Caught the 25, 30, 35, Wolfolk to the 40, and he fumbles the ball way upfield, and there's a pile up at the, and Florida State appears to have it at the Oklahoma 47, but that's what Florida State says. Let's see what the officials say, they got it. So the pass was completed at about the 25, and he broke upfield. Cut back toward the middle and was tackled hard, and the ball went knocked out and recovered by Cleveland Thomas at the Oklahoma 47-yard line. Most unfortunate there.
The defensive player did a real good job of stripping the ball, I think.
What I remember a lot, of course, is the bad always has to happen. Every time I had a fumble, which I had two fumbles that year, somehow Torrance Marshall found a way to get an interception in the ensuing drive. I have no idea how it happened. Not at all. Like he found a way to get the ball back. But without that, those type of plays and those type of players that are like-minded and also accountable for what they're trying to do, job-wise, whatever, then it's really hard to actually to get the breaks when they're coming because you're not individually driven.
Under center is Chris Winky. Eye formation, fakes the handoff, play action, fires a pass, intercepted at the 35 by Torrance Marshall at the 40. He cuts to his right, the 44, to the 45. He hits his own man and knocked. He hit Derek Strait, who got in his way.
Did you see Ante hit that guy?
But Derek Strait got in the way of Torrance Marshall and knocked him down. He threw it right to Torrance Marshall, so turnovers back-to-back, Murph. What about that?
Oh, that's wonderful. We got the second one. That's what's so good about it. I tell you, Ante Jones drills somebody. I hope they put it on a replay for people watching on TV.
Gets the snap, backs up, looks, fires, caught at the 38. That's Norman to the 25, 20, to the 15, to the 10-yard line. Josh Norman made a catch, put a bullet pass from Heupel. And a gain from the 45 down to the 9-yard line, 36 yards. First down, Oklahoma. They're first in the game, by the way. Patrick Fletcher will hold. Slight angle to the left. This at the south end zone. Snap. Ball down. Kick booms through there, and it's good. Sooners on top, 3-0 on a 27-yard field goal. 7:16 to go, first period. Wide receivers to both sides. Winky, a deep drop. Good protection. Rolls to his right. Out of the pocket. Pump fakes. He's being chased, and he's knocked out of bounds short of the first down. And he was knocked out of bounds by Dan Cody, freshman. Boy, who turned on the speed and got Winky before he could get to the first down marker at the 30, knocked him out at about the 27.
How do you like that pair of freshman ends, Bob?
Pretty good.
Cody and Wilkerson. They looked good on the last two plays.
Shotgun formation. Josh back to pick. Shovel pass complete to the 40, 45, 50. Griffin down to the 45 and down to the 44-yard line. Boy, they set him up beautifully for that. As Quentin Griffin turned on the speed after he made the completion at the 45 in Sooner territory, got another 10 out of it. So a gain of about 12 yards, and this, well, maybe more than that, to the 44. Play clock at 3, play clock at 2. And he gets the snap away just in time. Back to pass. Heupel retreats very deep. Throws a pass. It's intercepted at the 9-yard line. To the 10, to the 15, to the 20. And that's Cody makes the interception. Wolfolk brings him down. And that's help from Kempenick at the 27-yard line. Wow. Kind of forced that one and threw the interception. And that ends a possible Sooner drive, which had picked up 4 first downs. They started from their own 27, got as far as the 15, but the INT turns it over.
That one really hurt, Bob. He had as fabulous a drive to that point as I've ever seen him have, and he got just a little bit greedy at the tail end of that. He kind of meshed up improperly with the running back, which threw him off rhythm, and then he got outside, and he should have just thrown it out of the end zone.
There's the snap. Winky aims on a handoff to Miner. Finds a little daylight, and then a great tackle one-on-one by Derek Strait at the 45. Looked like he was going to get some running room around the right side, but it was a great tackle one-on-one by Derek Strait, who is a super tackler, and he gets only a yard of the 45.
Sooners are doing some interesting things in the secondary, Bob. I'm sure you've noticed Thatcher come running up. It's not really a blitz, but he's positioned himself right near the line of scrimmage, a linebacker, and they're bailing some other people out. I think that this is an effort to try to, keep Mr. Winky thinking and keep him trying to figure out just exactly what they are playing back there. But it's maneuvers we really haven't seen out of the Sooners this fall.
Pitch goes to Miner, sweeping left. Whoa, he is Rocky Kalmus.
Straight
at him. Well, just knocked him backwards, really did.
Straight had hold of his legs, I think, too, Bob.
They really clobbered him. He got just back to the line of scrimmage. Morelli will try the field goal, excuse me, Merv, and it's from this distance, he is 4-of-4 on the year. No angle, he's right in front of the goalpost, the south end. Snap ball down, kick is a line drive, and he missed it off to the right. He line drive, a terrible kick, really. Boy, that's something. You don't see that too often because he just shanked it something terribly, and I even use that word being a golfer, but it went off to the right side. And it wasn't even close to being good, and it's a 3-0 Sooner lead with 7.5 to go second period. How about them apples?
That's a big, big Sooner play. Maybe a little bit of that magic. Who knows?
At halftime, Oklahoma held a 3-0 lead, and the defensive statement had been made.
That team had a great deal of character throughout the entire locker room, and I've said it often that it takes a great deal of character to be down 14-0 and against the number one team in the country and come back and win. It takes a great deal of character to go into Manhattan and win. It takes a great deal of character to be down by 17 points with 4 minutes left at Kyle Field on the road and still come back and win. It takes a great deal of character to go to Kansas City and beat K-State. You know, I can give lots of examples of when our character came into play. We held each other accountable. We were disciplined. We had respect for one another, and we freaking worked our tails off.
We actually believed the guy next to us was going to do his stuff. Like, he was going to do his job. And that accountability was so great in everything just because we had survived the gamut of Smitty, of course. And then we had to survive that first. Then we had to survive all the practices of figuring out, oh, wow, I'm a starting wide receiver, and I start on punt team, kickoff return team, and kickoff. They're like, whoa. Like, knowing that that's all going to be in front of you and possible, and then going out there and performing, like, well, we've already done this next to these guys, and we're not here with a goal of, I'll be here for a while against the NFL. It's like, no, we're trying to win a championship. Like, we're trying to win. Like, we're sick of sucking. We are trying to win games.
We watched film at 7 o'clock in the morning with the coaches. We watch film at lunch with the coaches. Well, we watch film before we go practice. So we watch film 3 times a day to make sure that we knew what we were doing when we got on the football field.
Yeah.
They had one big play. After that, what'd they do? Nothing. You know why? Because we prepared for it, and Mike Stoops and Brittany Venables called one of their best games ever because they called. I mean, when you prepare for a game the way you're supposed to, you watch film 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 times before you play the game, hey, you're going to know what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
The Sooners came out of the locker room on fire. And despite a missed field goal on its first drive, the Sooners stepped up offensively to add to its lead on its second drive.
Josh Norman and Mackey come out. Ronaldo works and Seth Luttrell in. 6 of 12 on third down conversions from the Oklahoma 35. It is 3rd and 9. Shotgun formation. They're showing blitz. They rush 4. Josh Heupel steps up. He looks. He's still looking. He throws a long pass down for Thatcher. It's caught at the 30. That's Fagan it is. Fagan at the 30-yard line and leaped in the air, made a tremendous catch, and comes down at the 26. Chris Hope on the tackle. We call it Thatcher, who's only on defense. And it was a great catch as jumping high in the air was Curtis Fagan. 39 yards on the biggest play of the game and a rocket pass from Heupel. We see the replay, and Fagan made a great catch.
You got the impression maybe Josh was throwing it away almost.
Right. 2 of 5 this year from this distance, 42 yards. The snap, the ball is down. The kick is in the air. It is long enough. It is good. He hit it. The Sooners lead by the score of 6-0 with 4:24 to go in the third period. Wow. Tim Duncan hits a 42-yarder with 4:24 to go in the third period. Oklahoma leads by the score of 6-0.
And as has been the story in the first half, the defense continued to dominate the day.
Chris Winkie under center, turns, pitches it to Miner. He's hit in the backfield. A great stop by Roy Williams.
Who else?
He got in and knocked him down after he lost a couple of the 24. From the 26 back to the 24. Oh, Roy, how many times has Roy Williams done that this year?
He's something else. He really is.
Here's a third down play from the 7. Need to get about to the 16 for the first down. Shotgun formation. Winkie with a blitz on. Blitzing, they throw a pass. And it's thrown away as the Sooners blitzed Winkie in the end zone, and it'll be 3 and out for Florida State. Ante Jones with a great tackle on that punt, and Ante Jones with a blitz there. He has been a factor tonight.
He really has, and Strait was in great shape out there on the coverage. He was just exactly where he needed to be. If he hadn't thrown it away, Strait was there for the pick.
So it's a third down play. Here's a big play, Merv. Third down and 10 from the Oklahoma 35.
Yeah, of course. Behind, Bob. They're in four down territory. It's a deal worth eight.
Oklahoma has 6 defensive backs in there. They have a high formation. Florida State. Winkie takes a handoff. Back to pass. Throws a pass downfield. Almost intercepted. Brandon Everidge had it in his hands and couldn't hold on to it. Intended for Apris Bell. And it's 4th and 10 from the Oklahoma 35. This could be one of the biggest plays, if not the biggest play of the year since the national championship game. The ball is 35 yards away. We realize that. But a first down, of course, keeps the drive alive. And the Sooners have only a 6-point lead here in the fourth period with plenty of time left, 12-14. And here we go. Let's see what develops. Atlas Bell goes to the right, as does Tymel Gardner. Wide left is Bolden. And Winkie's in the shotgun.
Showing blitz, but I don't
showing
think they'll
blitz.
Do it.
Let's see what happens here.
I don't think they'll blitz. Yeah, they do.
And here comes the blitz on Winkie. He pump fakes. He steps up. He has a man in the open. And it's tipped away. A great play. Derek Strait knocked it away from Bolin at the 2-yard line. And it's it. Sooners take over on downs on a big defensive play by that fella, number 2, who's number 1 right now. Derek Strait. Wow, that's something.
He's had him one fine ball game tonight, Bob, in a lot of ways.
Here's another one of those third down plays from the Florida State 10. 1 of 12 on third down conversions. Talman Gardner is in the lineup. He goes wide to the left side along with Apris Bell. 2 wide receivers right. Bolden and Walker. Here it is. Third down and from the 10. Showing blitz. Here's Jonte Jones. He gets away from Ante Jones. He runs upfield, and he has fumbled the ball, and the Sooners have it, I believe.
Yeah, Roy Williams got it.
Has it at the 15-yard line. It was not free, I think, by Barry Holloman. What a play. As Winkie scrambled, Ante had him. Looked like he was going to sack him. Winkie dug under the arm tackle and ran with the ball, and then he was hit. I think Holloman caused the fumble, and the Sooners have it at the 15-yard line in Florida State territory. Wow!
Terry just told me that they owed us a turnover, Bob, and I guess he knew.
Roy Williams, wide receiver, wide left, one wide, two wide receivers to the right, shotgun formation, Petrell and Griffin. On both sides, hand off to Griffin, down the middle, to the five, to Roy! Hold on, back down the middle, touchdown, untouched, a 10-yard touchdown run by Quentin Griffin. At his 17th of the season, and the Sooners go up by the score of 13-0, if they get the extra point. Right at this moment, it's 12-0. They may be thinking about two, but I think it'll probably be one. Holy mackerel, what a run, Murr.
We've seen Quentin do that a number of times this year from about that area on the field, Bob.
Travis Miner, the running back. Go Lightly is also there. Go Lightly to Winkie's right. Shotgun, fourth and 13 from the Oklahoma 40. Winkie gets the snap. He's back to pass. Three-man rush. A pass is thrown. It's dropped. Intended for Miner out of the backfield. The Sooners take over on down. Threw it too high. And Oklahoma takes over on downs at their own 40-yard line, leading by a score of 13-0 with 6:21 to go in the fourth period of play. Shotgun formation. Dalmas is showing blitz, but he does not. Back to pass is Winkie. He throws a screen pass. Torrance Marshall all over Tolman Gardner, who made the catch in the backfield, and he was creamed immediately at the lost 5 yards. It's fourth down and 15 from the 15, and Florida State will be forced to punt, it appears. What a defense. 2:42 to go. Incredible defense, Merv.
It's just been, I cannot fathom it against Florida State, Bob.
And with time winding down for Florida State, once again, the Sooner defense made a play.
Second down 10 from the 30-yard line, 24-6 of the clock to go. Winkie gets the snap. He's being held.
Holloman's held.
Oh, Holloman was just held, absolutely held. And the Sooners intercept, and that'll cap it. Oklahoma picks it off. Who got the interception?
Thatcher, I think.
Thatcher and Ante are hugging each other. I'm not... And Ante Jones. And now Coach Stoops is hugging Ben Painter. And I think Coach is going to get a bath here in a minute.
He deserves one. They held Barry Holloman big.
Oh, they sure did. That was very, very obvious. I'm still not sure who made the interception, and Coach Stoops did get a bath.
Here it is.
Here we see a replay. I think it was Ante Jones. Boy, would that be justice. Yes, it was. Ante Jones makes the interception. And the Sooners have 16 seconds to win the national championship of the year 2000.
So much for the BCS controversy.
Incredible.
Florida State and Miami, I mean, and Washington to wait another year.
Unbelievable. Sooners will take a knee, and that's it. And Heupel turns to the crowd and pumps his fist as the time will run out. And the Sooner fans pour on the field, the police trying to keep them out. It's 4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. Oklahoma wins the national championship. All right, Oklahoma wins it.
Oh, man.
13-2. Incredible. Great performance. Merv, absolutely outstanding.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Just great.
I just can't say enough about the coaching job that those guys did and the way those players played.
Can you believe that? Shut them out except for that safety, and just a great job all the way around for the Sooners.
Got to quit selling this team short, don't we, Bob?
That's absolutely right. Wow. Just words just fail you a time like this. Just incredible. And look at the Sooner fans. They're still in the stands there.
They're going to be there for a long time.
And it's just a tremendous effort. The only undefeated team in college football, 13-0. No one gave them a chance. 12-point underdogs. They come in here and shut out Florida State except for a safety late in the game.
For the seventh time in program history, the Oklahoma Sooners were national champions. And the party was on in Miami.
Rocky, how's it feel, pal?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Couldn't be sweeter, you know. Earned all the respect around the country now.
I tell you what, this was an incredible defensive performance. How many changes and adjustments? What was the main key to stopping Florida State?
Well, I think we only have about one adjustment. I think we're just going to switch it up a little bit. But other than that, our DBs played a heck of a job against their talented receivers. We got pressure on Winky, made him throw a couple of interceptions and give him happy feet back there. Really had a great game plan. We knew if we executed it, this outcome would happen.
Hey, here's Merv Johnson.
Hey, Roy, all I can say is congratulations. You guys do the best job of carrying out a plan. I know you meet and work and study. And you play like heck when you're out there, but you execute. Don't you feel that way, that more than anything else, it's the execution the defense has?
Yes, sir, Murray. We went out there and executed Coach's game plan, and when you do that, good things happen, just like Coach was telling us all year round.
Torrance, what's this feel like, man?
Oh, it feels good. Right now, I'm just tired, man. I left it all out on the field. So did everybody on the team, you know. We just came in real focused, and we was all determined. Man, I'm just happy for the team right now. I'm lost for words.
The Sooners won the Orange Bowl 13-2. They won the national championship, and they put Sooner football back on the map with authority. They had proven the doubters wrong and had cemented a spot in Sooner history for eternity. The games are still fresh in our memories. It is a season that will never be forgotten, and it is truly one of the greatest teams in the history of Oklahoma Sooner football.
The more people talk about it to me, the more joy I find in it.
That's awesome.
It makes it where it's like, you know what? That is extremely hard to do, especially to go there and actually win, because there's so many championship games. If you ask me the last 20 of them, who has lost on the other end? Other than the ones that we've been the losers, I couldn't tell you who the other team was, just because that's how special it is for the team that does win.
More than anything, when I think about it, as the years go by, for numerous reasons, it just becomes even more special. You know, I used the championship as an example, talking to my own team the other day, just about how, nothing in life worth having and worth keeping comes without hard work. And I used the example of the national championship. I was like, guys, like, we worked our tail off for that, and nobody will ever be able to take that from us. Like, we're celebrating 20 years now. 20 years from now, if I'm still around, we'll be celebrating 40 years, you know? And so it's just, you know, the memories that were gained through that time, but more than that, just the relationships that you form during that time is what makes it so cherishable.
Once again, the happy total for the national championship, Oklahoma 13 and Florida State 2, Sooners national champs. This is Bob Barry. Good evening, everyone. And this is the Oklahoma Sooner Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.